Gila just blessed the beat.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Shauna the Songbird.
And this is Shahari.
And welcome to another episode of Why the Songbird Sings. I know we have been away for a minute. We are sorry, but also not sorry, because we both needed our breaks and whatnot. And I guess we'll get into that a little bit later. But to start off the podcast, or the show rather, I must say that this is going to be a special show, because this is the first Shahari takeover episode for the new year and for the first one for this season. So I'm super excited to hear what Shahari has planned and what God has placed on his heart. And so Shahari, I will turn around and give you the floor, because it's your show.
Right. I've been away for a minute, so it's going to take a while. It feels like I haven't done anything in a while as far as recording and hearing my voice say anything. So, Shauna, how has it been recently for you?
Well, for me recently, it's been a dream. From my vacations, from being with Danny and Arizona, we went to Phoenix. It was a blast. Did ATV riding for the first time. So nice and enjoyable. For my birthday, I went to Greece for 10 days. Mm-hmm. And that was super exciting. I went by myself, which is something I'm accustomed to doing anyways. But it was nice to get back into my international travel since the pandemic started. And it was nice. I went to Greece and I stayed on the Santorini Island. And I was living in Fera. Beautiful views. It was super windy. The wind was disgusting. Like, it was like,
yeah, I saw
dreadlocks flying everywhere.
I saw some of the pictures. And you were about to fly away in one of them.
Hey, like, it was, the wind was fierce.
You had your Cinderella blue on. No, that wasn't Cinderella blue. No, it was
what?
It was darker blue. It was a darker blue dress you had on.
Talking about the lavender dress?
That looked blue to me.
Oh my goodness. Oh, baby, I need you to put your glasses on for that one. That was lavender.
Okay, purple. All right.
Yes. Yes, I did a flying dress photo shoot, which was everything. It was interesting. There was a lot of fabric to do. And like I said, it was super windy. So it was just like having a big parachute. And then like I was standing like close to ledges and stuff like that. And then like we was on the top of the, I guess, top of the mountain or top of the cliff or whatever. So it was kind of like, if this thing blows like hard enough, like I can literally just fall off. But it didn't happen, and the pictures came out beautifully. I was super ecstatic. if you guys want to see that, you guys can go to my Instagram page at Shauna the Songbird on Instagram to go look at those pictures.
Yeah, she had someone taking pictures. She giving all types of poses. I don't know. She was living someone else's life.
Honey, I was living someone else's. I was living my life, darling. When I say my life, I was living my life.
So the people that know what I mean, you know what I mean.
And then I went to Athens, and while I was on the mainland in Athens, the flat I was staying in was like right above like a busy street with like a lot of bars and restaurants and stores, and I was like right around the corner from like some of the oldest markets in Athens, and I was like, oh, this is beautiful, like this is perfect. So like I like walked around and had a good time. I did a rooftop bar crawl and met some interesting people. I toured the Acropolis. I actually climbed that mountain twice in one day. The second time I did another photo shoot, and I was climbing up in heels, and it was just not a good time for my feet. But the first time it was very good, and I went to the museum, and it was just so interesting and fascinating, and also to see like the ruins of the past, and even able to walk in a neighborhood of the old of the ancient city. It was just fascinating. It was just great. The food, the people. I met some interesting people.
I bet you did.
Oh, the funny story. Some of you probably have seen when I was on Off the Rock, the story of me on Santorini, but I'll tell it on here. So while I was on Santorini, I met this, Indian guy who said he was a doctor and was like, hey, I'm just riding around on the scooter. My plane leaves later on in the afternoon. Would you like to ride with me? I'm a pretty cool guy. I was just like, Well, for all my like millennials, remember Cheetah Girls, remember how, the girl went away, rode off with the dude on the scooter and whatnot. That was like my little moment that I was having.
I told you she was living somebody else's life. I told you. So I know you ain't finna go on no scooter with no random person. That's what you did, didn't it?
And I did. And I thought he was just gonna, I thought we were just gonna like ride around the city fair. But actuality, he took me to the other side of the island, to the west side of the island, to Aya, or some people pronounce it Oya. And it was super beautiful. I was happy I did not stay there because it was more tourist based, and it didn't have a lot of eatery, like inexpensive eateries and stuff like that. It was like more so like higher price stuff, and it was just really like meant for like people like to go over there and spend money. But like it was super pretty and it was just interesting, and we went and like we even stopped and took pictures and looked at like the different types of the volcanic rock that's there. And then he even took me down to the water and we were able to get pictures there, and it was just so nice. And then on our way back, instead of going on top of the mountain, we went down on the shoreline back to Fera. And it was just so, like, the water was beautiful. It was just a wonderful experience. I just cannot talk about it enough. It was such a good, positive experience. So I'm pretty happy about that. Outside of Greece, it was nice to go back to Mobile for a little bit to see some people. One of these days I will probably try to stay a little bit longer so I can actually see more people and whatnot. And instead of me just kind of like one night only flying in, but it was,
weren't you here longer than that? Well, yes, I was here, you were here, but
I mean, yes, I was there longer than one night only, but like time passes by so quickly to where like 2 or 3 days to like visit people in a city that you stayed there for what like 6 or so years. It's not enough time. Well, at least to me anyways. Because everyone's busy, everyone's got this and that, some people are sick, people have kids now, like, it's just hard to coordinate things. So, it was nice. And then I was in St. Louis with my significant other, and in visits, and spend time with some friends, mutual friend of ours, and some other people that you don't know. Don't do that face. You remember you helped carry him drunk one night. Okay. Anyways, and I was really just enjoying this like honeymoon like situation that we had going on. It was nice. Met the parents and everything, and it was a really nice time. I low key did not want to depart, but we both understand that we have goals and things to accomplish before we get to a certain phase in our lives, and so we just have to keep doing what we're doing and keep building on this foundation that we have started on. So everything has been great and luscious for me. What about you, Shahari? What's been going on?
Okay, I'm gonna make mine a little shorter because you had a lot. You was out for a minute. You had a 3-year vacation. Yes, me recently I went to Iowa to see my dad. It was a 15 and a half hour drive. I stopped by at another friend's on the way there. Saw his newborn. She looked like a baby doll. She was a month early. And I didn't really see the dad in her, but apparently everybody else did. But she was on the darker side, so I guess that might have been what it was. But she cried the whole time, so all I did was do boop boop and hand her back. Is what I did. I saw my dad. He's in Iowa. And while there, I ate. We drank a lot. Maybe too much. I had some stuff that I didn't really like. Like, I don't know the name of it. It was some type of brandy, I think. But he just kept handing me shots one night, whatever it was, Saturday. And I think we had like 4 things, and it was like, I'm good. Like, I don't do stuff like this anymore.
Baby, that's how you can tell if a man is military, is if he can drink.
And we went to a lot of different restaurants while there, like one place called The Chicken, and they had chicken there, and I had wings. And there's not a lot of black people there. So I was center of attention wherever I went. Which you know how much I like that. But it was a good time. I hadn't seen my dad since, when was it? September of 2021? So, we were in Tennessee, but it was a good trip. On the way back, I stayed with my friend, celebrated his birthday for a little bit, and then I came back here. Not as interesting, not as much went on as with Shauna's thing, but it was probably best for me to not really do a lot.
I would say it's still like a break from your work and everything, and you just able to just enjoy the people in your life.
Yeah, that's what I did. I visited people I hadn't seen in a while. That was the main purpose, and I just needed a break from work, mainly. So that's what I did. And I think, yeah, that's about it. That's what's been, yeah, that's it. So, anything you wanted to add to my story? Any commentary? Any commentation?
No, I don't have any comments to add to your story, sir.
I think I held back my comments. I think it was best to just air everything out. I didn't want to add any, what's it called? I'm clicking the pen again. Oops. Let me just move this over here.
Right. Just relax.
It's because the pen was there. That's why. It's just something to do.
Get you a fidget spinner.
Are you saying that would make less noise?
I mean, I don't think they make noise, but it, I don't know. You might find a way.
But, yeah, so I think that's the end of our catch-up process. My week was an equivalent to Shauna's 3 years, and I think we can move on to, here we go, with reflections.
To be loved by someone like you, to be fulfilled by someone you think came from a dream, to be loved in a world where your body and what that mouth do is the first fucking thing to grace your ears. To be accepted for who you are by someone that you never thought would be so open and willing. To go through life prior settling for potential and hopes only bring heartbreak, questioning, tears, and scars. To find someone to make music with that forever most pleasant melody that allows you to build these tight and incredible harmonies. To feel free when you are with someone to open your mind and let you explore and be weird without question. My little songbird, your joy and trust will constantly be challenged. Hold on tight. Your peace and foundation is and will forever be in the Lord. He is always building your path, and you have done well with remaining on track. Stay strong and never get discouraged and forced to look back. Keep moving forward. Sincerely, Sean the Songbird.
Okay, reflections on your reflection?
I mean, it's really not much to say. I feel like it's kind of like self-explanatory.
Okay. Well, let me ask some questions then. What were you talking about, making music with somebody? That's a yes.
Come on. Overall, or are you talking about like just that portion?
I mean, I don't know. You made it sound like you were talking about being with somebody making music. It's like kind of what I was getting at with that.
Oh, I mean, I said that for one portion. Like one part was talking about making music with somebody, yes.
And then the other part? was this one of those reflections where it's actually, you mean what you actually said?
Yes.
Oh, this is the first time.
There was no sexual innuendos going on with this one. Like, making music part, it is metaphoric as far as it's metaphoric and it's also literal at the same time. Because
that makes no sense.
Okay, so what you call it? So, like I said, I've had this incredible, like, honeymoon type situation happening for the past month, going in and out of everywhere. And my partner is a guitarist, and he's in a band and stuff like that. So, like, we have moments where, like, he practices and he plays, I sing, he sings, and it's actually us making music. And then also the whole thing of when you are with somebody, you should be with somebody that you can add, you can compliment, and who you can add quote unquote harmonies to, instead of having somebody where you have to just add on additional segments or additional lines to the melody, if that makes sense. You get what you do, are you getting what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. I think somebody said on social media one time, and it said, it stated that you should not be with somebody because you need them. You should be with somebody because you want to be with them, and they're a good addition and a good compliment to you. And so, I feel like that is like a very accurate thing that we, as people who are dating and everything else, should kind of like more so think about. Like, are you with somebody because you need them and you feel like you just cannot function without them? Or does this person just compliment you so well and you just enjoy this compliment to your life, this a new addition to your life? And so that's the whole like making music type situation.
Okay. But okay, great. So that's a good, that's a recent reflection. So that's more of a recent thing. It's not going too far back.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, that's why it sounded so different. Maybe that's why it was more literal.
I was still in my feelings, so I was like, I have something else prepared, but I'll save it for next time.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to move on to Words of Light. This is coming from Stephanie Foster, and it's called Who Told You That You Were Empty? It's the plan that I was reading. This is day 3. Through it all, trust God. Ephesians 6 and 16 identifies faith as a shield capable of extinguishing the flaming arrows of the evil one. Be aware, your confidence in God is a primary target of the evil one. Just as an unused or disabled shield provides an effective protection, surrendered confidence renders you vulnerable to attack. Knowing this, God implores us not to throw away our confidence. Confidence is a function of trust. Love is the perfect soil for growing trust. God is love, and He is so worthy of our trust. God and His word are one. God, who cannot lie, watches over His word to make it come true. So take refuge in God's commitment to you. Jeremiah 31 and 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Joshua 1 and 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 46 and 4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. When difficult circumstances arise, know they are perfect platforms for demonstration of God's grace and sovereignty. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Beloved child of God, I urge you to wholeheartedly trust God. Hebrews 6:18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Beloved child of God, you are united with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So who told you that you were empty? That was day 3. So if anybody ever told you that you were empty, just know that they're lying to you. And God doesn't bring about lies, so why are you listening to it? We're going to end with this prayer, and it's a prayer for true confidence. So just pray this with me. O merciful Lord, you know me and see me. You can read my heart. Things are changing so fast. Nothing is stable or secure. Help me, O Lord, to regain my trust and confidence. As the world trembles in fear, I am shown again and again. No lasting security comes from the promises of man. Only one was willing to go to the cross for me. Only one shed his blood to save my soul and set me free. Only one was innocent and faithful to the end. Against all the chaos and conflict, I saw only one thing. My faith in Christ Jesus. His love drives out all fear. God's kingdom brings order to my mind, heart, and soul. Against all odds, Jesus lives. Against all odds, I am at home. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That was your Words of Light segment. Go forth and prosper.
Love it. Thank you so much. Who told you it was empty? Because, baby, you are not.
Yes,
you are always filled and protected, baby.
Auntie Shauna talking to somebody.
Don't do it. Don't do that. I am an auntie, but you know, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm an uncle, but my voice don't change whenever I'm talking to him.
Don't do that either.
But okay. So we're moving on to the discussion. And
oh, before we get to the discussion, I just want to do a shout out to Black Boy Who Paints, Mr. Stephen Williams. He has been working in the Rochester community and has been doing different shows and performances with his paintings. He can also be you can also find him on Facebook and Instagram. The Facebook and Instagram is at The Black Guy Who Paints. And Instagram is at The_Black_Guy_ @who_paints on Instagram. And so just give them some love. And so, yes, I just wanted to give like a little snippet of a shout out to Mr. Stephen Williams for that. And hopefully we might do another show together, or at least we might redo our canceled Instagram Live thing, because he had caught COVID at the time. So, yeah. All right, now we're ready for our discussion.
Okay. I think at one point in time, I don't remember when this was, but I had asked you, do you ever get tired of telling people that you're Black? I don't, can you recall your answer to that?
I want to say my answer was, it was the last episode that we recorded. But yeah, I do get tired.
You get tired. And yes. Because you had such a more, such of a bigger answer. Why do you get tired then?
Because my biggest thing is, I feel like we are at a point in time where my Blackness should not be an issue at this point. My Blackness should not be a questioned thing or a thing of concern anymore. I feel like we should be at a state where, you know, everyone should just wash their hands, drink their water, and mind their business.
Okay. So, you shouldn't, it should be a normal thing now. You should see, like, I'm a person, and this is normal. You've seen people of color before.
Right.
At the last discussion, I believe you said something, you said that we're all oppressed.
Yeah, something like that. I said, yeah, I don't think I use oppressed, but like, yeah, we're not free or something like that. Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, you said oppressed.
Okay. Yes. Okay, well, my bad.
Do you still have that thinking that we're all oppressed?
I would say, because it's such a complex, but not complex, answer or question, whatever you want to call it. Because, we have more possibilities of doing stuff on our own, more possibilities of generational wealth, more possibilities of we have more possibilities. However, in retaliation to that, there are people who are of the palm that necessarily don't like that we have those opportunities, and will gang up and terrorize us and or treat us as though we don't have those opportunities. And it doesn't matter whether you are upper class, whether you are it doesn't matter your class at all. It doesn't matter if you are well kept. It is, the main thing is if you are Black. And that's gonna be my answer. And I'm gonna stick to it.
Yeah, I'm so glad, because the first time we started this, you said everybody is oppressed and we're all oppressed, and your answer has almost completely changed.
It's not completely changed. It's just I dived into it more. It's not changed.
It's changed.
No, it is not.
We're all you're all kind of you saying we're all fucked in that first answer you gave me.
I mean, we still fucked. I mean,
no, it's changed. You didn't say all that before. You made it sound like we were all just gonna die poor and lonely.
That's not, you probably took it that way, but no, that's no, not.
I probably did take it that
you
way.
You probably took glad it that to hear way, but
a different but answer this time.
Well, that's not how like it was meant to be.
You're going to Greece and living your best life must have changed your answer a little bit there, definitely. You can't be oppressing in Greece. Taking a whole month off. Child, that don't sound like oppression to me.
Child, they still looked at me just like I'm just another black person. I was going to say something else, but I decided to be to myself. Unfortunately, I mean, it's true, like, a lot of the stores and stuff I went into, like, they just looked at me like, oh, it's just a black person.
A different person, yes. Somebody different. Somebody with possibly more than I have. Somebody that slightly intimidates me, but I don't know why.
I guess so, because some places the service was a little... Now when I made eye contact with the queer people, that's when I had good service. But other ones, I was like, all right, prejudice.
Another
is everywhere.
Another part of the discussion from the last time. Do you view yourself as more as a collective, or an individual, or someone who is interdependent in the collective?
You said collective. Do you mean like, do I see myself a part of the black race? Is that like, is that the question, or am I like misinterpreting?
Do you view yourself as a, when you're discussing, when you're speaking on behalf of black people?
Oh, I always give the fact that it's my experience.
Okay.
I might have shared experiences with other black people, but I always give the preface of it's my experience.
Yes, all these answers you give me are completely going to the different direction they were the first time. So there are some people that tend to, whenever you're thinking of the other race, you tend to think of the worst percentage of that race. Whenever you're stereotyping people, typically.
I mean, most times stereotypes are used for like the negative sense, so it's just like, I mean, so yeah.
So do you see yourself guilty of any of that?
Oh, I mean, yes, of course. Of course. But I don't always act on it. I just keep that shit in my head and mind my business.
Yeah, it'd be the older palm half the time for
come
me.
On now.
And it'd be hard not to, 'cause it don't take long. You just see the look. It's the look.
I mean, you feel that energy.
You feel it. You feel the vibration. The negative pull that's going against your positive.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You can cut it with a knife sometimes. Don't let it be a cluster of them. Don't be like in a group of them. Oh. Oh, the hairs on your body start standing up.
See, I just try to get away from that collective thinking, because majority of the time, when you see somebody in a collective sense, not an individual sense, you're typically judging them off of that bottom 10%. There's more people who are for you than you realize. This is everywhere. And of course, you got to give people a chance sometimes, especially if they haven't really done anything to you. But of course, you can't be looking at me all crazy, though, either. because of that, that's telling me to stay away. That's what that's doing for me.
So how do you, what would be your advice for those that would say that they have tried to, give people a chance, but it seems as though every time they give people a chance, they let them down. What would be your advice to those people?
For those people, I would say it's not your fault if you've done nothing to them. So you can't control people, of course. So it doesn't matter how they react to you. If you were positive and polite and decent human being, then you can't. It's not your fault that they reacted the way they reacted. So it would be my thing. And as far as whenever we're, another thing about viewing yourself as a collective, I just did some research, mm-hmm. and there's at least like 1.7 million billionaires who are of color.
Mm.
So just know, even though it may seem, you may see in the news that some people may say black people are oppressed and they're not capable of getting these things, but if you find something that you're really good at and you actually put forth your work, don't use the we're all oppressed or we're all systemically disproportionate, or what is it?
Yeah, you said it right.
Don't let that keep you from attempting
right
to get out of it.
Amen.
Because I think sometimes, especially with the slavery thing, we keep talking about slavery like that happened 200 plus years ago, and
I could have sworn it was 400, past, but all right.
Okay, 400 something years ago. Maybe that's when it ended. 200 something years ago. You're more of the history buff than I am.
Let's call it. See, I took a break from, because I was working on a book that was talking about that, and it's funny that you brought that up, because the book was talking about the parallels of society now and like legislation and stuff like that during slavery, and how some things are still remnant today, and especially how the older palm has been regulating things. And I kind of just took a break from that because it was getting very very intense. And
it was making you hate people you didn't even know.
Not even hate people I didn't know. It made me dislike people who willfully are ignorant to what has happened and to some of the things that are happening that are more so like race driven, and just think that, oh, these things don't happen anymore. It's just like, it's not necessarily it's not happening anymore. It's just the fact that it's some things are being covered up and just retitled and reworked. But essentially it's the same thing. And like I said earlier, like, you know, thank God that we've gotten to the point to where we are able to become billionaires and whatnot, but also at the same time, it's still terrible that we should not even have the thought or the concept of us possibly still being systemically I forgot how you worded it. It was really nice how you worded it.
Systemically disproportionate,
right?
Like that.
We should not.
That's even right.
We shouldn't even be. We shouldn't even have the question of if we're if there's like some kind of systemic disproportion from blacks and from other people, especially from white people. I feel like that shouldn't be a thing. It should just be like, we're Americans. We are people. We live in a country of opportunity and success. So let's create opportunity and succeed.
Yeah, because I think we tend to use slavery too often, and we're not living in that same era. We're really not. And I think we're trying, like, the past does not determine your destiny.
Amen.
I think we're letting that hold us back a lot of the times. So whenever we keep bringing it up, it's like we keep bringing it up so much just as if we want to go back to it. Like,
but also, I mean, there are just some people who just don't. There are some colored people that just don't do for themselves, and
yeah, we're using it as a crutch to not put forth any effort.
Right, but like even without that crutch, they still wouldn't do for themselves. So there are those people, but you have those people in all races. So it's just it's unfortunate, but I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, so that was my thing. This was a very colliding conversation. Because if we had to continue from where we left off that last time, I don't know how it would have ended. But I'm going to end with
I'm about to say, don't do that, because I'm saying the same thing. I'm just I'm just more politically correct, and I am just able to express it properly. But essentially, I am saying the same things.
Okay, if you say so.
And even if not,
because you put your mom a thing on saying I'm speaking for everybody. We're all fucked.
and if that was the takeaway from last time, I mean, I'm sorry. Like I said, things were a little heavy, possibly in my mind at the time. So
you hadn't been to Greece yet. You hadn't been to Greece yet. You was just off your worker's orders, and whoever's user was pissing you off, and Yuki went to Greece and to Arizona. And came back refreshed. Your answers are much lighter than they were before.
All right.
You lived a very unoppressed life for those 3 weeks.
Jesus bless.
So we're going to end with day one of Who Told You That You Were Empty by Stephanie Foster. So it is titled Who Told You That. Difficult times come and go. Sometimes we see them coming, and other times we feel ambushed. These difficult times revoke responses, including how to live in the midst of this unwelcome presence. Do we confront, overlook, deny, accept, flee, embrace, or reconcile this presence? Though we are more apt to focus on the storm of difficult times, a larger matter is consideration of our storm preparedness. What would you think of a person living in an expensive luxury home without flood insurance in an area with a history of flooding? Storms reveal foundations. Consider Jesus' parable of the wise and foolish builders. The foundation of the wise builder's house was rock, whereas the foundation of the foolish builder's house was sand. The same storm conditions beat against both houses, and the storm impacts were strikingly different. The house built on a rock didn't fall, yet the house built on sand fell with a great crash. Matthew 7:27. The foundation, not the storm, is the heart of the matter. If our faith in God is shallow, our ability to effectively use faith as a weapon to overcome difficult times is uncertain and likely unproven. Accordingly, we then tend to speak and act with uncertainty. Given this, we could then readily reason the difficult times to be in a more powerful presence. This sounds like the report of the 10 leaders sent to explore Canaan. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Numbers 13:32-33. Who told these leaders they were grasshoppers? Reflections. Difficult times come to all. Have you developed a faith in God to anchor yourself in difficult times? hopefully if you've been following us on this podcast, you have by this time. Number two, love never stops loving. Why have you had any doubts that God loves you in the midst of difficult times? If you have, answer those questions. And why that has happened. Some scriptural demonstration of God's way of loving. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. That was who told you that. So if someone tells you something negative, they're lying to you. So that is the end of the Shahari takeover discussion. If you have any feedback, please, Shauna, tell them how they can respond.
I'm screaming. Oh my goodness.
I know we have Facebook. Yeah. That's Why the Songbird Sings podcast.
Correct.
Facebook. We have Why the Songbird Sings at gmail.com.
Podcast.
Why the Songbird Sings podcast at gmail.com. And we have a TikTok called WTSS.
And also our Instagram, which is just Why the Songbird Sings.
Why the Songbird Sings is Instagram. Now you can message us, and Shauna will probably respond.
Yep. Some things I try to bring to Shahari's radar every now and then. So
yeah, sometimes she does, and I'll be like, I don't know how to respond to that. There was one that I knew how to respond to because you were afraid to respond to him, but for some reason you didn't think you could respond to this man. He was just sending prayers every day.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we love and appreciate you so much for the words and prayers of encouragement.
Yes.
It just got too much between him and everyone else. And I was just like, I don't know what else to say at this point. So I just sent it to Shahari. I'm just like, hey, I need you to respond to something. Some things need your eyes.
Because, I mean, if it's something I ain't got no experience in, I can't really help you.
But you can give, like...
No, I can't. If I ain't got no experience in, I'm going to give advice and something I ain't got no experience in.
I mean, but...
Where's the sense?
Like, my whole thing is, like, if it's like a female or a femme person talking about like a relationship or talking about her man or whatever, you can give more of the male perspective into something. Mm. Not necessarily like into like a relationship, just kind of give like basis of like how males think.
I guess it's also my confidence issue. That's why I'm praying on that right now.
Hey. You got this. I used to tell you all the time, you are that person. That was not the word I used, but you're that person.
I would hope not.
Anyways, guys and girls and theys and thems, those are the ways for you to contact us. We would love to hear from you guys. We've been saying we're going to do better with social media, but then like we turn around and took our hiatuses and we still have not done much with our social media, but we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it. I promise. I don't know about something every day, but like we're going to work at least 3 times a week.
That's the goal.
It's, we got to set a goal and then start there. But yes, everyone. So thank you so much, Shahari. That was a wonderful takeover. I don't know why you're laughing. It really was. Like, I really, thanks. Like, I received all of that. I enjoyed it as well.
Thank you.
Welcome. And
we will see y'all next time. Go forth and prosper. And bye.
Bye. Reflection.